Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, welcome back, or welcome to Mentors Today. Ileana, how are we going to prevent kids from submitting ChatGPT writing samples in writing competitions?
I don't know, Rob. Let's help my sister to solve that issue.
This is what your sister is. She's a teacher and she's worried about this. Like, how do we work with young students in these writing competitions that we've had for years and years and years? Because what if somebody cheats? And how do we know?
Yeah, I don't know. We will have to do a whole episode about it.
I feel like our guest today might actually have some insights on this question later. So we may have to invite her opinion in a little while. But first, why don't we tell our audience who our guest today is?
Today, we are very happy to be joined by Ariana Gomez. She is the founder and CEO of Technology for Impact and Arterly. Ariana is dedicated to transforming individuals and organizations into global agents of peace, prosperity, and positive impact. As the founder and CEO of Technology for Impact and Arterly, Ariana spearheads a next-generation boutique consulting firm that empowers boards, companies, institutional entities, private equity, and venture capital funds, and international organizations to transition to a stakeholder and sustainable mindset and business model. Before establishing Technology for Impact, Ariana served as the Senior Director for Innovation and Design at Visa and as the Executive Director of City Development for Bosch, advising the Board of Management on the future of connection mobility and smart cities. Her notable achievements include founding FinLab, the first financial inclusion innovation lab in Latin America, during her tenure as the Chief Innovation Officer for Gentera, the region's largest microfinance institution. Additionally, Ariana has collaborated with influential institutions such as the World Resource Institute, the UN, and the World Bank. She holds a master's in science in development studies from the London School of Economics, LSE, and an MBA from IPADE, and has pursued postgraduate studies in artificial intelligence and machine learning from the MIT, management and leadership from Harvard, as well as a sustainability and circular economy from Cambridge. She has also served as a faculty and global expert at Singularity University and is a member of the Institute for the Future. In 2016, she was honored as a rising talent by the Women's Forum for the Economy and Society, and currently Ariana serves as a board member for Credicorp and Equis. So, Ariana, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to Mentors Today.
Thank you, Ile. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me, for having me, and can't wait to, you know, start talking with you and having a very interesting conversation.
After that incredible background or bio, like, I feel like we could just end the podcast right here. That's just like a big round of applause, and like, that's the most incredible introduction ever.
I love learning and studying, and I'm a bookworm and nerd, so always trying to, you know, just to get more tools on the backpack.
So we have a whole number of topics, to your point, right? You have a wide array of interests and expertise in a wide array of things, frankly. And so we have a bunch of stuff we'd like to get your opinions and your insights and your views on, both historically and going forward. I want to start one in particular, and it's the one that drew us together, which is climate, right? So of all these things that you've been involved in, of all these things that Ile just articulated so thoughtfully, that you have worked on over the course of your career, why are you so passionate about the climate and climate change, climate technology, climate investment, climate leadership by women? Like, why this and why now?
Wow, what a question. Okay, yes. Number one, why am I so interested in climate and the convergence point between climate and women? Well, first of all, because if I go back, ever since I was a little girl, I always loved nature the most. For me, nature is the greatest mother, the most wise, the most loving, the most loyal, and the best teacher as well. Like, whenever I have a problem, whenever I don't know how to solve something, I take the time and observe what's going on in nature, and I will always get an answer. Like strategy-wise, organization-wise, collaboration-wise, you always have the top and best examples in nature. If we paid more attention, we could actually build a better world, for instance, with no residues, with no garbage. In nature, nothing is garbage. Everything goes into a cycle. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I've always loved nature, the ecosystems, everything, but especially animals. For me, that was my sanctuary since I was a little girl. I always found peace of mind and companionship with animals. And I love animals dearly, like whales and dogs and wolves and elephants. It's really, you know, I'm very sensitive perhaps, but I've always felt deeply when they are not doing well, when we are okay. killing them or pushing them to extinction and that sort of thing. So that's from a personal point of view. And from an existential point of view, if you like, we are facing humanity's greatest and biggest and most complex challenge in our whole history. And that's global warming and the loss of biodiversity. Sometimes we talk about global warming or climate change only, but the problem, the planetary climate problem that we're faced with right now has two pillars. One is global warming and the other one is biodiversity loss. And they're interconnected, of course. And we need to solve this problem if we are going to be able to have a thriving future, that a future that sustains people and planet. Because we cannot go on like we have been, you know, working in the past centuries, maybe. And especially after the second and the third industrial revolution, it became crazy. This consumption, this frenzy of more, exponential growth, those things are so damaging to ourselves and to our planet. Like, we are the generation that has the most stuff in the history of humanity. And yet we're the generation with the highest rates of depression, suicidal thoughts, mental health issues. So there's no connection with having more and consuming more and actual wealth.
What is missing?
Right? So that's why. Yeah. And women play a huge part. Because the system, the traditional system that we're living in, is a patriarchal capitalist system. And I know a lot of people get uneasy when they hear patriarchy or capitalist, and they're like, wow, this crazy woman now wants us all to be communists. No, not at all. And I also don't want a world where women dominate and men are just subjects. No, there needs to be balance, but there's no balance today. It's mainly male dominated. And this capitalist extractive system has hurt women and the planet. And we need more women to be on board so that we can balance this a little bit more and start leading in a different way, not from a place of competition and having more and greed and wealth accumulation, but also from a place of wanting the world and everyone to live a happy life where everyone, including animals and nature, can be what they're meant to be and have a natural life, thrive, repurpose or reinvent or reimagine what success means, what growth, what well-being, what wealth means. And we need that. We need to lead from a place of love and care. We cannot go on leading from a place of greed and accumulation. It's just not viable.
So you were version of this person that you are now when you were a little girl and all throughout. And yet, professionally, even in your studies, maybe put a lot of energy into industries like fintech and financial inclusion and those types of things. Has something happened in the last 10 years of your life or our lives that triggered you to say, now is the moment? I have to put myself in the way of this climate movement.
Yes, I think, I don't know. I think I've always been that person. And I thought that I could help the cause the most if I focused on acquiring skills and knowledge that would help me serve better, you know, my cause and my interest in nature and protecting nature. That's why I decided to go into the corporate world and learn all about innovation and technology, which was what I did from maybe between 2013-14 to 2019-20. And those years, I tried to acquire the most knowledge possible, the more tools I could get. And it was, yes, all about innovation, all about technology, especially payment networks, fintech, but also exponential or so-called exponential technologies like AI, VR, blockchain, big data, and now machine learning, of course, as well. And then I realized the first time I came across an exponential technology, it was VR. And it was when I was studying at the Singularity University program for innovation executives. And they sent me there. I was super grateful, super excited. And then they talked about, you know, VR. And I was like, wow, we could solve so many problems with VR. And I started digging deeper and trying to understand what people were using it for. And then I realized that over 90% of all the applications and all the research that was going into the VR, virtual reality world, were used for the porn industry. And mostly it was led, well, not mostly, it was actually like led by groups of men in different countries. And that really broke my heart. I was like,
that's terrible.
I know. And I was like, we have this life-changing, world-changing technology and we're using it for porn? Like, really? And then I decided, no, this is not good enough. And I started looking for other applications and I came across Noni de la Peña, a wonderful Mexican woman. And she started using that technology to generate empathy for refugees. And she did this program with the United Nations, ended up showing this program to the King of Jordan. And when he saw that, he put this headset on. He saw what was going on with the refugees. Like he felt it in his own body and skin, you know. And he put the headset off and he said, no, no, this cannot be. I am the King of Jordan. We're going to build the best and biggest and friendliest refugee camp in the world because we cannot leave people living like that. And it helped him understand and empathize with that. And I was like, wow, we should be using technology for that. And that's when I started this idea in my head of I need to have my own company to help other organizations and leaders and governments, institutional investors even, focus on the things that they can change with these sort of technologies for the improvement of the world and people and nature, and not just to sell more products and to have better porn or whatever. And that's how Technology for Impact was born. Yeah. And the climate thing, well, it has always been there, but now with the climate crisis, I mean, our focus is helping companies move to strategies and business models that are focused on regeneration and decarbonization and circularity. And that's where technology really plays a huge role, strategy, innovation, future foresight. And it's really exciting. So I used to be like the crazy hippie and they would be telling me, you know, like, oh, go hug a tree, Ariana, you're crazy. And now those guys, those CEOs, those directors and managers are calling us to help them in their transition towards decarbonization and regeneration. So it ended up being a good idea, actually.
Awesome. And can you tell us now about Alter Leap?
Yes. Well, Alter Leap is like my, I think, Technology for Impact would be something like a brainchild, but actually Alter Leap is like the favorite baby.
Okay.
Very personal, very close to my heart. Alter Leap is a community, the shameless community for women who care about the planet and are ready to take action. Alter Leap is the result of something we observed while working on Technology for Impact, and we continue to do so. Two things happened. One was we made a piece of research for a client where we were focusing on performance, like COVID and sustainability performance of different companies and different countries. And we realized, and then we double checked, and there are actually a lot of studies with the same insights, that when women are in charge, when women lead or co-lead, our planet does better. Like, that's it. You know, the only country that has achieved all sustainable development goals in the world is Finland. And it's, you know, the prime minister is a woman and her government is mainly composed of women. I'm not saying...
How can you explain this?
Well, there are many explanations. If you look at it from an ecofeminist point of view, the main two school of thoughts when it comes to ecofeminism are essentialism and constructivism. So plainly, essentialism says... Women have a very, very deep connection with nature because we're women and because, you know, we are more sensitive and more empathic and naturally caring and nurturing. That's the essentialist school of thought. The constructivist school of thought says, no, women are not born like that. They are more connected with nature because they have been taught that that's what women should do. Women should care for the ones who need it. Women should be motherly and nurturing and loving and that sort of thing. At the end of the day, I don't want to go there because it's like a super hour-long discussion. But at the end of the day, the reality is, we don't know if it's because of essentialism or constructivism, but the reality is most women around the world do have tasks that are related to caring for others, nurturing others, being in contact with nature. Like all the poor women in the world, around the world, are the ones who have to go and get water and gather some wood for fire and washing the clothes on the river. So they come across animals more often because they are in those environments. So that's the truth. And we care more. And there's a piece of data that's super interesting for me. Like all the executive positions around the world in the corporate world, we women only hold 12% of them, like all the CFOs, chief technology officers, chief financial officers, most of them are men, and only 12% of those positions are held by women.
Wow.
Except for the chief sustainability officer position.
Okay.
There, we occupy 57% of that around the world. We naturally, I don't know why, I don't want to give an explanation because I'm not the owner of the truth, but I don't know how, but we care more about that. And so that's maybe one explanation. And that's the truth. When women are in charge, the planet does better. Even in the microfinance world, I mean, ever since Mohamed Yunus founded this idea of microfinance, the focus has always been women because we are the ones that pay the loan on time more often than men. We use the money for productive purposes, like paying for school, paying for uniforms, paying for something that will give me an extra income so that I can invest in my family more than men. I'm not saying all women do it and no man does it. No. But there's data saying it's really interesting and the numbers are really saying something. And then the other thing that happened was that with our clients, we have clients like all sorts of clients. We work with small startups and founders, but we also work with big companies, you know, global, like Nike, Capital One, Uber, and Google. And throughout that platform, we realized that when women are in charge, yes, the planet does better or society does better, but when women are in charge, they tend to suffer way more from imposter syndrome, limiting beliefs, self-doubt, fears, what if. And they get really scared when they need to go bigger. Like, for instance, if I tell a client, a female client, hey, you should charge more for your conferences, she would be like, no, how could I? No, they won't pay me. And I already charge a lot. Like, they would charge $1,000 for a 1-hour conference. And these are top women, right? Like, top executives. And then I say, yeah, but the equivalent, like, that guy from the competition, he charges $15,000 for an hour. They're like, what? No way. But maybe I shouldn't talk about that subject. Maybe I should go and do a PhD before so that I have the credentials for that. And then I saw that most of my male clients had amazing confidence. Some of them even bordering with a little bit of exaggeration. Like someone would go to the press and say, we're working with cutting edge AI when they were actually working with an Excel sheet for their business. And I was like,
I think that's bordering on just lying.
Yeah. And I told him, like, why do you do that? And he was like, no, I'm not lying. I mean, that's the plan. We're going there. We're doing it and we're going to do it. We're going to make it. You know, I was just like, there's this confidence gap. We talk about a lot about the equity gap and the gender gap. There's this confidence gap that's huge. And then I was like mixing those two things that happened, the research piece that we did, and then realizing what women were going through, this imposter syndrome, blah, blah. I just felt like an epiphany. I just felt like I had, I hope I can say it on this podcast, but otherwise
I'll say. You can literally say whatever you want here.
Okay. I just felt like I had some sort of, you know, sisterly joint with Mother Earth. We were sharing it.
Let me tell you a quick story, Ariana. We have a guest who, by the way, I am 100% going to make an introduction of you two to each other.
Yeah.
So we have a guest on the show not too long ago who, much like yourself, has some of the same very deep passions. She works in the similar space in a different way, and she literally told a 6-minute story about how until about like age 9, she literally, not like metaphorically, like literally thought she was a baby shark.
I love right? that.
So she, her root story, like her origin story about why she is so deeply passionate about biodiversity and animal welfare and the planet and sustainability is because she's like, Rob, Ileana, I grew up for like 9 years. And when I bit my classmates at school, like in primary school, like I didn't know I was, because I thought I was a shark. Like, so you can literally say anything you want and it will not come across as odd on this show.
Oh my God. I love that story. And when I was little, I also, I mean, I didn't think I was, but I wanted to be a dog. Like so, it was all about dogs. Like it still is. I love dogs, but I was like, I'm a dog. If there was a disguise party, Halloween, I wanted to go as a dog, and I posed as a dog, and
so you had an existential kind of epiphany that said, if all these things are true, all this data about women and women leadership and women is true, and the outcomes are true, then wait a minute, there aren't enough of us gathering us together to help us. Teach ourselves how to lead. How
exactly?
So if this is true in this tiny fragment of number, like gross data, then we need to exponentiate that. If there are 12%, we need there to be 24%.
Yeah.
If it's 24%, we need there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's there.
Alter Leap is that, and part of that answer.
Alter Leap is. I had this epiphany or feeling that I was sharing this joint, I say, but we can call it a coffee with Mother Earth. And she just sat there and she looked me in the eye and she was like, you know what, sister, I need you to help me to get more women on board. I need you to help me get more women be in charge of their lives, being leadership positions. Even if you're doing whatever you want, you don't need to be the CEO of a company or an astronaut. You can be a stay-at-home mom because you decided to, or have your shop, or be a freelancer, content writer, whatever. But be in charge, be a leader of your community, of your house, of your building, of your school, whatever. And she was like, help me, please help me, because I am aching. And I just took it really personally. And I went to talk to my team afterwards, and I told them, you guys, we need to do this, because Mother Earth basically asked us to do it. We are seeing this. We cannot unsee this data. And it's telling us we need to get more women on board. We need to smash these ideas, these imposter syndromes, insecurities, fears that we've been dragging for ages, because since we were little girls, we have been systematically separated from nature. Like, oh, don't pat the dirty stray dog. Oh, don't play with earth. Little girls don't get dirty. You need to wear a dress and blah, 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 blah. And you sit that way and don't talk about money. That's not feminine. And, you know, especially in places like Latin America, where we still have like a very strong Catholic, imprint, and women should this and shouldn't that, and put some makeup on. Are you going to go like that? And, you know, we cannot have cellulite. We cannot have stretch marks. We cannot have wrinkles. We cannot have white hairs. We cannot have hair on our body, but we need to have beautiful hair on the top of our heads. Like all these crap ideas that we've been dragging, all this baggage that's not even ours that we've been carrying, that is like limiting our potential. And our earth, our planet needs women and everyone, but especially women, to unleash the potential and to put it to good use, because we are in a crisis. So that's how Alter Leap was born. And we're all about that. Transforming yourself to transform the world. Fix yourself, all these ideas, all this baggage. Let's get rid of that. And that's the first step to dismantle the system of oppression, the system of patriarchal capitalism, starting with yourself.
And how does it work? Do you have like a program, or do you have like a one-on-one sessions, or I don't know, how can a person join Alter Leap?
Yeah, well, we have all those things that you said and more. We are on Instagram, so we are like an Instagram community, and we're just launching a different, like a deeper community now, where we're going to be on a group, like a private group, all of us connected as well for more activities. But on Instagram, we're publishing a lot of things. Like there's an eco-anxiety test. A lot of the women in our community are suffering from eco-anxiety. Like, you know, all these phases of anger, rage, hopelessness, helplessness when it comes to what's going on with the planet. Every time you see the news and there's an animal suffering or news of a new species being extinct, it hurts you, right? And you get angry, like, why? And then in then you're hopeless, like, well, the future and we're going to die, it's horrible. So eco-anxiety. We have a lot of tools. We have a podcast where we invite also people to talk about, experts to talk about eco-anxiety, eco-feminism, imposter syndrome, all those things that are damaging to us as women. And we offer courses and programs and challenges. We're just finishing our Break Your Chains challenge, it's called, about limiting beliefs and rewriting your own narrative, your own dreams, and how to make them true. We don't like to be esoteric. Like, there are a lot of people out there, you know, saying that because you are a Virgo or Aries, you should focus on this or that. We don't believe in that. We think that's also a tool of oppression for women, because you get to decide your life and your destiny, and you get
to. It's not predetermined in the stars. Is that
exactly? No? Exactly. That's okay. Very limiting. So we don't like that, and we like to work with science. So all the things that we do to rewrite, unlearn, and relearn stuff that we have deeply ingrained in our minds, always based on neuroscience, psychology, cognitive therapy, like pure science, pure tried and tested, and really effective methods and methodologies to bring results faster. And we give our community the tools that we have at Technology for Impact for top CEOs and companies. We bring those to the women, because most average people in the world wouldn't be able to pay like a $25,000 program to learn something about how artificial intelligence or generative artificial intelligence like ChatGPT can help your company grow or can help you achieve your goals faster. And so our community is filled with women who maybe wouldn't be able to afford that because they're not big companies, they are people. And we bring them those tools so that they can really boost their whole toolkit and start, once they transform themselves, like getting rid of imposter syndromes, insecurities, and so on, they can start also doing something for our planet, reimagining them. So we bring them a lot of future foresight methodologies that we've developed together and in conjunction with the Institute for the Future, where I'm a member of, and innovation, how to build your own massive transformative purpose, how to reimagine a different planet, because we're so focused on the negative, like the planet is coming to an end, we're all dying. And like Einstein used to say, the first step to do something different and new is to imagine it. We need to start investing our time and energy also in imagining a better future, not only on crying and feeling low about what's going on, because otherwise we won't know the steps to get there because we haven't even imagined it in the first place. So we're working a lot on those things, focusing on those things, and really elevating the mood in our community as well, because we believe that even though things don't look the brightest, there's so much joy. And there's so much like collaboration and human potential that we need to seize and enjoy as well. And what I love saying to our community, especially to those members who are really having a hard time with eco-anxiety, is if I were someone who's terminally ill and I was told that I'm going to die in a year, what would you do? Would you be crying for the next 365 days? Or would you enjoy life the most, because you know there's already an expiration date. We're all going to die. We don't know how, when, and where, but how do you want to do it? And also Mother Earth is the one that's getting like the most suffering, and she still gifts us every day with the sunrise, with the sunset, with birdsong, with beautiful flowers and animals. The least we can do is be grateful and receive those gifts and enjoy them as well. And in the worst case scenario, if things are going really down fast, I always think about the musicians at the Titanic, you know, like they knew they were not getting a place on a lifeboat at all. And they said, okay, we're dying. Tonight, we're dying. What do we do? Let's play the best music anyone has played ever. And that's how they went.
Right. Which was both gratifying for them, right? Because it was the best use of their most cherished talents and gifts.
Yes.
But also in a selfless way, because they realized that the gifts that they had, the gift of music, is also soothing and restorative for others, right? Absolutely. So it was like that unique moment of like selfishness meets selflessness. And to your point, right? If we knew that the planet had 100 years of inhabitability left as we're used to it, we could choose to live it as our best way as opposed to the fearful way. It's funny, Ilya and I joke every once in a while when we get guests who are so thoroughly prepared and thoughtful like yourself, you make it really easy on us because you essentially segue yourself into the next set of questions.
I'm sorry.
It's awesome. No, like we text every, we're like, this is great. She's interviewing herself. Like, this is fantastic. No. you did unintentionally lead me to the next area. So I'll say this, the thing I love, my takeaway from everything you just described about AlterLeap is that, to Ilya's point in her question, it is very actionable. Like, this is very tactical. This isn't, I joke oftentimes in an American context, like this isn't, you know, Tony Robbins, sugar high, you know, cotton candy kind of weekend enthusiasm. And then you go back to your normal life on Monday and it sucks, right? Like this is, you're taking these corporate principles and programs and tactics and you're helping apply them or commodify them down to the consumer level, which is awesome. That leads me to my next question. Tell us a little bit from a business context, right? So maybe this is through the lens of technology for impact. You have had the good fortune to advise, consult with some incredible brand companies in Latin America, incredible brand companies, global companies that are entering or doing business in Latin America and or just globally. If there are any stories of a couple of those brand companies that you could share with us to illustrate how you have effectively helped them to build climate action or biodiverse, you know, conservation into their operations. Maybe you could illustrate that through a couple of stories in your experience and help people kind of identify with something that maybe is a product that they use in their home or is a company that they bought stock in or something like that, but they didn't appreciate that there are people like you and your firm behind the scenes helping these companies to transform themselves. So if you could.
Yes, absolutely. And if I may, I'm going to start by saying something that a lot of consultants won't say, probably. A lot of people think that when you talk about consulting big companies and important companies, it's like this sexy job, you know, like you're the consultant, you're the expert, you're in the know, and you get to talk to these people like the CEO whisper, and they will do what you tell them. And wow, and then you charge like thousands of or millions of dollars. And actually, for me, being a consultant and having a consulting company means being like a sort of Sherpa, you know, like the Sherpa, the guides that lead people
up and down, like big,
yes,
like
the Everest.
Everest or Mount Kilimanjaro or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. It's a Sherpa. You're like a very humble shepherd, if you want, or just like a very humble seed, a person who plants seeds, like a farmer, if you want as well. Because ideally, we would love to start a conversation with a company, even these global big companies, and be on the same level in terms of understanding of the crisis, the climate crisis, and the importance for them to reach decarbonization and regeneration targets. The reality most of the times is that they're not there. And so you need to be really humble about it, and you need to act as a farmer and as a Sherpa. And sometimes it's just explaining things in a very empathic and caring way about why this is important, why it's important for you, why it's important for your customers. And it's just step by step. Sometimes it's baby step by baby step. But the beautiful thing is when we realize that there's this gap and they're not there yet, and that's why they don't understand the importance and urgency to do something regarding regeneration or decarbonization. So we always offer them like a foundational course first. And this foundational course is just like literally a foundational course. Like, what is sustainability? What is decarbonization? What is the problem? Like, why are we here? How did we get here? Blah, blah, blah. What is biodiversity? Why is it important? Like, really basic foundational course. And it's amazing because that course we normally do for the whole company, not only like the executive team or the board, but the whole company. And it's really magical. Most of the times, that's the way we start with this work. And after that, like everyone is much more aware of the problem. They're more sensitive about it. And they also want to learn more and to do more. And normally we have chats with them. Like we open a private chat for each client. And you see that in the chat. The intern, some of the companies, we always tell them, bring everyone, like even, you know, the cleaning staff, everyone. And you see people writing stuff in the chat, like, I never thought about it. It was... And now I'm paying attention at home. Like it really goes home and it's amazing. And from there, it's when the magic happens. Like once they have that foundational course, sure, then they start asking for more specific things like a sustainability playbook to help our employees lower their carbon footprint or their eco-anxiety level or experiences. We do a lot of experiences with companies these days. We thought that was only for Alterly, but then somehow someone heard about it and they proposed it in their company and they loved it. And now we have like CEOs of companies, tech companies, big ones, lying on the floor while we're doing these reconnecting with nature, deep ecology workshops, crying their hearts out, talking on behalf of animals. And I'm just there thinking, I never thought I would see the CEO of this or that company, you know, feeling and doing it like that. But people are really wanting and asking for solutions. And we all need to reconnect with nature. And when you start doing it, they see the value like that and they want more and ask for more sophisticated projects. And then we can move them beyond ESG, which for me is kindergarten. It's okay. We all need kindergarten, but it's kindergarten. It's not a PhD. And then we can move them past ESGs really fast into what's really important, which is setting decarbonization and regeneration targets. If companies don't have that, I'm so sorry. They are just plain greenwashing. Yeah. That's it.
You know what I love about that? It's fascinating. It's fascinating because it works, but also it's a clever consulting tool, right? I mean, so many of us consultants in general start with the top down. Right. And then you're selling these huge initiatives and then they fail because the executives don't really have buy-in. And even if they have buy-in, they don't have buy-in of their people. So you're literally, you flip the script and you're coming along and saying like, let's educate your people. Let's get them inspired. Let's get them connected to this. And then inevitably the executives come back to you and like, well, now that you did that, now that you started this fire, now we need you to come in and do this and this and this. That's awesome. Yeah. Very clever. I mean, effective, but clever.
Yeah, but we also work, we do a lot of sounding board sessions with CEOs or with their executive teams and even with boards as well. We do a lot of mirror boards where we even invite Mother Nature as a board member and she has a chair and
wow,
that sort of thing.
That's really cool.
Like crazy stuff. And I think that's what's worked for us very well, that we do the crazy stuff that a lot of consulting companies would be afraid to do, starting with radical honesty. When I was working in the corporate world, I hated it that we were hiring the big ones, you know, the big, big names, the top names in the consulting world. We're charging millions of dollars for transformation programs and digital and whatever. And sometimes they gave us like a presentation with the name of a different bank. And I was like, hey, oh, sorry, let me change that. Or they wouldn't address the elephant in the room because addressing the elephant in the room would mean telling uncomfortable truths to the CEO maybe. And I hated it because it was so damaging for the company that they knew what the problem is, but they were not addressing it because they didn't want to lose the client. So one of our main value propositions is we give you radical honesty, even if it costs us the job. Because at the end of the day, how we understand our work at Technology for Impact, my team and I, is we don't work for the client that pays us. We work for our planet. That's our main client.
Wow.
And so if that means that I have to tell the CEO of a top company that he's being an a-hole with women because of this or that habit, and he's making women feel uncomfortable because of what he's doing, I will. And I have. And it's been the hardest ever. I remember going to the toilet in a restaurant and crying with my dad on the phone, like, oh, I just said this and they're going to fire me. And he was like, yeah, you're crazy. How did you? And then this guy calls me an hour later and says, I just want to thank you. I'm sorry that I left the restaurant in such a state because I told him something really horrible. And I want to thank you because in 25 years leading this company, none of my board members, none of my directors had the nerve to tell me that. And I just realized that this is actually the problem that I was having connecting with women. I just made an appointment to apologize to each and one of them and explain them that I know what the problem is and I'm going to change it. And now that guy calls us whenever he needs someone to tell him like the raw truth of what we think about whatever. And you build a level of trust that is really super valuable because CEOs and decision makers need the truth. They don't need people, you know, saying yes to everything. And as consultants, you need to have the courage to do it, even though it's super hard, but we do it.
You think it's harder being a woman in this position?
Yes, but also depending where.
Okay.
It always depends a little bit on the context. I would say in general, yes. And I talk to other women consultants, friends of mine as well, fantastic, wonderful women, super successful in what they're doing as well. And it's funny, some of them sometimes worry about how they look, like, oh, I have this meeting with this very old school guy, you know, CEO or president of the board of this company. And I think like I should wear high heels and a dress or something like that, you know, like, or makeup or straighten my hair. And I always try to challenge that. But yes, it's hard. The hardest for me has been probably when it comes to climate talks,
okay,
and financial sector. I don't know. I had to go to Florida. There was the Florida Bankers Association 132nd annual meeting in the Breaks Hotel in Palm Beach. And I was the only woman there talking about,
wow,
talking about net zero, like the future of banking and the race towards net zero. And this guy, I mean, it's 250 second-tier banks, all with a market cap to die for, like billionaires.
250 bankers in South Florida. I'm just going to guess mostly old white guys.
Absolutely.
And you were the only woman.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you're talking about like net zero climate impact on their banks. How did that go?
It didn't go very well. It didn't go very well. There was this guy who just stood up and shouted at me like, but climate change is a hoax. And when someone tells you something like that, it's like, okay, what? I mean, do I really want to engage in that conversation? Like, I don't know, you know, what do you say to someone like that? Like, if you were to tell me right now, like, no, the sky is purple, it will be hard to try to convince you otherwise if you're already thinking like that. So that was hard. I tried to explain, I tried to, you know, be very empathic. It didn't work out. And then we were offering a program for all those banks to start getting them familiar with all the regulation that the SEC said that was coming their way. You know, the Securities and Exchange Commission said in a couple of months, it will be mandatory for banks to start declaring their scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions. Like not only what you generate in terms of greenhouse gases emissions, but also what your clients do. And they were like super angry, like, no, we're not the climate police. What the hell? Blah, blah. And so we were offering them this program to help them, you know, get on board. And I think two of them signed. And then after 6 months, it was half of them. And by the end of the first year, I think it's only 8 of them that hasn't signed up. So eventually you get there, but it's hard. And being a woman was harder because there are still many people in the world that think that when a man comes in a suit, talking with this sort of voice, and I'm from this or that company, this consulting world, or I'm an independent consultant, and I've been in the Navy, and I've served, and I've consulted the president and Obama, and they always will, of course, say amazing things of things that they have done. Sometimes when instead of that, they get a Latin American woman with a weird accent that tells them, oh, no, climate change. Yeah, the message is not well received, but we're getting there. And I think some of them are trying to embrace the change or are being forced to, which is good news for women. And we should take advantage of that as well. Like, I don't care if I'm being invited to a place because they felt they had to or because they wanted to. The point is, I'm there. Let's make the best out of it and show whomever is there that we can always deliver excellence.
How do you see Alterlib in the next 10 years? How do you imagine the community will grow?
I love the question. And I know my team is going to kill me a little bit if they hear what I'm saying. Because, well, I have the most fantastic team at Alterlib as well. They're amazing. And I tend to be like a big time dreamer, you know, like huge, like I dream big. So I would say in 10 years, we have, I don't know, why not? 20, 25 million people in our community, women, and we are really impacting in the best possible way because our community is not only about giving them tools, but we want to be a community that's actually generating impact. And we want to measure that. We want to every year have our own report, like our community. Together, we mitigated this many tons of emissions. We did this. We signed these petitions. We stopped doing this. So it will be measurable impact as well. So I think that maybe in 10 years, we are between 20, 25 million community members, and we are generating amazing change around the world. And we're also doing a lot of in-presence events in different places in the world. We want to have a lot of ambassadors in different countries, in different cities, connecting women for this amazing purpose, which is reimagining and building a better world for everyone that sustains humans and nature and animals as well.
And another thing that I think we didn't ask, this community, it's in Mexico, Latin America, in the US, how people can join from everywhere in the world? Or
yes, well, actually we have two communities. One is called Alter Leap. And if you go to Instagram, you'll see Alter Leap, and that's all English. So for everyone and anyone who speaks English, that's it. But we also have Alter Leap Latam that we launched afterwards. We just launched it this year, actually. It's growing pretty fast in comparison, obviously, because in Europe, I mean, our target for the first community for Alter Leap in English was the UK, the US, Canada, Germany, and Australia, which are the five countries, all of them English speaking, except of Germany, but everyone speaks English in Germany, that are more aware of these issues. And the growth for this community was a little bit hard because there are already many things going on in this field. In Latin America, we care a lot. Like, Latin American women are super fiery. We can deal with whatever, like, you know, and we've been suffering a lot, like all the femicides in Mexico, in Argentina, like violence against women. It's crazy. But we are fierce, really. We are. And we care fiercely about the environment and the planet. You have all the Amazon sisters as well, these indigenous communities, a lot of activists that are being killed in Costa Rica, in Mexico, everywhere. And so I think it was welcomed in a really different way in Latin America than it was in those other countries. But we have both. You can join both. I invite you all to join both. But if you prefer Spanish, then of course, Alter Leap Latin America.
Okay, now we get to take you into our favorite part of the show. We get to turn you into the mentor for the day. You've already given our audience so much tactical advice, as well as just kind of inspiring context. The roots of your own story are incredible, and it kind of makes sense. There's such a through line of the thread of from where you were as a child to now, and I love that because we don't always get to live that individually, and we don't always get to see that in people. It's really inspiring when we do. So I have an idea. Sometimes we say, like, you can make this advice about anything you want. You can make this about personal or business or whatever. I'm going to be a little bit more narrow today because I think you could really leave the audience with some specific tactical advice. So I'm going to ask you, maybe you could give three pieces of advice to women, particularly, who themselves want to make a meaningful impact in their field, whatever their field of professional interests or lifestyle might be, but they want to do it in a sustainable and innovative way. What are three pieces of advice that you could give to women about that?
Oh, wow. I think the first one, and probably the most important one, is do internal work, do deep work. Because we all live in this society, we all live under this system, we all carry a lot of baggage and a lot of insecurities and limiting beliefs and ideas that were implanted in our head about what we should and shouldn't do, what we should and should not look like, what we should and should not dare to do. And I think that's the first step, like doing this introspection and deep work. And just ask yourself, all these ideas I have, all these fears I have, all these beliefs I have that if I do this, then this won't happen. If I don't wear makeup, then I won't be lovable and no one will like me or whatever. You know, we all have more complex ones. Of course, that was a very simple one. But do the work, ask yourself, and then decide that those ideas maybe were given with love by someone you might love. Maybe it was a parent because they understood the world as well, like, you know, a place that would be harsh on women. And they wanted to protect you. So it comes from love. It's not about hating the people who gave you those ideas. It's just revisiting them that now that you're an adult and saying, okay, what actually serves me? And letting go of everything that doesn't and just keep those things that actually serve you, reach your highest version. That's number one. And number two, when it comes to innovation and sustainability and technology and impact, educate yourself. Education and knowledge is power, has always been, will always be, even in the era of ChatGPT and generative artificial intelligence. Knowledge and information is power. You want a promotion, you want more opportunities, more possibilities, educate yourself. Fill your backpack with tools. And you don't need to be wealthy, you don't need your boss to approve a course in Harvard. Go to places where those courses are available for free. Udemy, Coursera, there are so many that are actually super cheap or free from top universities. It's just a matter of willingness and taking the steering wheel in your hands and deciding, I want to go there. Okay, let's make it happen. Make a plan. And that would be number three. Learn how to build strategies, how to define goals, define the destiny where you want your ship to go, and then say, okay, I'm in A, I want to get to B. What do I need to get there? And start doing it. Is it a course? Is it connections? Is it looking for mentors, for expanders? Is it learning something new? Is it moving out of a toxic place? I don't know. You will know, but make a plan and stick to it.
I love that. I love it. It's do the deep work, educate yourself, make a plan, you know, build that roadmap for yourself. I think, as you said, paraphrasing here at the very top of the show, right? How do we change the world? We change ourselves, right? So incredible.
And look for sisterly love. A lot of sister support, women support as well. We are so loving and so supportive of each other when we give ourselves a chance. So take advantage of that.
Well, Ariana, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very inspiring to listen all your wisdom. And now I want to go and have a coffee with Mother Nature too and join all these initiatives that you are promoting. So thank you so much. And please share with us where we can find you in social media and how can people can join this revolution in climate change and women empowerment.
Wow, I love that, Ile. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking with you. And really, thank you. Thank you for the space. And yes, have a coffee with Mother Earth and follow us on Instagram at AlterLeap, which actually means a leap into the other outside of my ego. So I think it's really nice and
wow.
It really explains what we do. And join us at AlterLeap and AlterLeap Latam. And yeah, let's build a better world and let's get rid of all that baggage and ideas that we don't need.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I love it. I thank you. I thank you for your time. I thank your lovely husband for the referred idea that we should all talk because this has been awesome. I wrote a note down early and I circled it a couple times throughout. This is just my impression of you is I think many people could meet you and have a conversation like this and come away and think to themselves, wow, like that is just a woman who is like filled with self-confidence and is at the top of her like confidence game. And I have a slightly different takeaway. And this is just how you feel when you come through the microphone or my headset or the video here that we can see with each other, which is, I feel like you're just at a place in your life where you've started to tap into like that deep level of self-awareness and self-comfort. So you're comfortable with who you are. And so it's slightly different than confidence in my view of the world. And I think that's even more important. It's more powerful. And it's just a joy to listen to. Like listening to you and Ileana go back and forth for the last 45 minutes was mostly just me sitting and like, this is great because she's constantly learning, which she talks about all the time. And you're essentially kind of really feeling at a good place in your life. And it's very inspiring. So thank you for sharing that with the rest of us.
No, thank you, Rob. That's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me and for this space as well.
My pleasure. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara.
produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our hosts, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.